This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, thank you, Brent Musburger, Matt Ullman's Will Hill, VSiN Prime Time on a Friday night. You're going to find Will Hill here every Friday night going forward. Now that the Circa Friday Football Invitational is over, Chris Massaro has been crowned the champ. And a bit of a slow night here at the Circa Book, but we do have big schedules in the NBA, NHL, and a few college hoops games of note, including our game of the night, which is about to tip off in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Wolverines are 16.5-point favorites over Ohio State. Total of 166. I do see some 17s out there if you like the dog, and I do have a small bet on the dog here. Tonight, Michigan has failed to cover five in a row after looking like the 1996 Chicago Bulls for about 5 weeks. All right, Will Hill, are you fired up for the NFL Conference Championship games this weekend?
Always. I would say it's in my top 5 days of the year, probably in my top three. It might even be number one. Anytime you get two games, both with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, that's one of the better days of the year. I will miss the football on Saturday, but Conference Championship Sunday is about as good as it gets. How about you? Are you excited? And I didn't know you had the dog here, Ohio State. So anytime you're on a dog here, I'm probably going to end up tailing you here on Ohio State.
You can get 17 there with the dog. I don't love the play, but I do have a small like half unit play on the Buckeyes tonight. I like the way Ohio State's playing, coming off wins against UCLA and Minnesota. And something's not quite right with this Michigan team right now. I can't pinpoint what's wrong, but talk about a team that was winning by 30 and 40 points routinely and now has failed to cover five in a row, lost at home to Whiskey, barely dodged an upset at Penn State. Obviously, yeah. We know teams go through peaks and valleys throughout the season. And I mentioned it at the time, is Michigan peaking too soon? Well, there's still time for Michigan to peak in March. But right now, I think the Wolverines are going through a bit of a valley. And then a rivalry game like this, that, as Mike Palm referenced, might be a bit of a look-ahead spot tonight for the Wolverines, who have Nebraska and Michigan State coming up next week. I thought it was worth a shot here with the dog. I was surprised there. You said that this might be your favorite day of the sports calendar. It's only two games. It's not like the first day of the NCAA tournament, first or second day when you have a bunch of games. My favorite days are when you have a schedule packed with games. These are really good matchups, though, Will.
And the stakes are so high. So it's in my top five, probably my top three. It's not. I love the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. The totality of conference championship week is awesome too. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is definitely one of the better days of the year.
All right. So Rams Seahawks is a game we're going to focus on here. The NFC championship, the third time these teams have played, 21-19, 38-37 in overtime. Seahawks 2.5-point favorites. Anytime it moves to three, you would get sharp money on Rams plus three. I think Chris Massaro mentioned the Wynn Sportsbook briefly had a three this week. If you wanted to grab that with the Rams, you're not going to find that right now. I don't know if you'll see it over the weekend. But typically, if you look at history, Will Hill, when you have a number one offense going against a number one defense, the game goes the way of the dominant defense. I'm not sure this game's going to go that way, and Sam Darnold is a big reason why. I just don't believe in Darnold going into this game, and that's why I like the Rams a little bit. What's the strongest case you can make for the side you like here in Rams Seahawks?
I like the Rams. The case I would make is the Rams Seahawks classic game on Thursday night was just about a month ago to the day. And in the fourth quarter, when the Rams were up 16, it took miracle after miracle for the Seahawks to tie that game and eventually win it, including giving up a touchdown in overtime and winning with a touchdown and a two. We would have all agreed. Anybody asked at that point would have said the Rams are the better team. You fast forward a month, and now the Rams are getting 2.5, some juice threes. I could only look to the Rams. Like you said, Darnold has been very shaky in big spots against the Rams earlier this year, 4 interceptions. Against the Rams in the playoffs last year, a disaster. Against the Lions with a chance to get the one seed, the final Sunday night game of the year with Minnesota, awful. So, and plus throw in the fact that maybe he's okay with this oblique, maybe he's not. And going back to that Thursday night game, I think it was a week before Christmas, December 18th, thereabouts. I think that was the day. There was no Adams, a key offensive line injury, mm-hmm. key defensive injury for the Rams. The Rams were not healthy on that game and still should have won the game and probably should have won it comfortably. So, again, like we talked about with Denver, New England, just because it's the right side, quote unquote, and you're getting value with the Rams doesn't mean it's going to get home. All things are not equal. This is a good spot for Seattle, who has been off. They've been home. They got basically a bye and then a half a bye last week against the 49ers, a game where they could coast. Meanwhile, the Rams have played on the road and played down to the wire. So it's a better spot for Seattle. But give me Stafford, give me McVay, and give me the points here. I think the Rams are the right side, Matt.
Wow, that was a convincing case. I tell you what, after listening to you, now I like the Rams a little bit more. Nice job, Will. Darnold last week, 12 for 17, 124 yards. He didn't have to do a whole lot. The Seahawks were running downhill because they returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. And he didn't have to face adversity in that game. We don't know to what extent he is injured. And even a healthy Sam Darnold is going to create doubts in the back of your mind as a better when you're back in the Seahawks. That said, the betting public is on the favorite here. Let's take a look at the betting splits. Well, we talked about Patriots-Broncos, where the betting public is on the road favorite there at about 70% of the tickets going into the weekend. What we're seeing here in the Rams Seahawks game is somewhat similar at this point, where the Seahawks are getting 69% of the bets here at Circa, but only 27% of the handle, by the way, but 69% of the bets on the Seahawks. At DraftKings, it's higher, 79% on Seattle and 76% of the handle. Does that surprise you a little bit?
It does surprise me. It really does surprise me. I think that's an outlandish number. I'm surprised it is that high. Let me ask you something. At Rams 2.5, that's an ideal teaser leg, but without a full NFL card, there's not a lot of dance partners. Are you interested in teasing both dogs? You wouldn't use the Patriots as a teaser. The Rams up to 8.5. You go through the 3, you go through the 7. I like to stick through those numbers, the 3 and the 7, whether it's up or down. And there is some variance, I think, with Stidham and the Broncos, but I'll ask you, is Broncos Rams, is that an appetizing teaser combo for you or something you're going to stay away from?
I'm going to stay away from it. And I had this text discussion with Chris Zanuck, Las Vegas pro bettor, last night. I kind of screwed up this situation because I would have teased it with Indiana. I would have teased Monday night, would have teased Indiana down to 1.5. But I had Indiana working on so many different bets, and I had Miami plus 8.5, and I had so much riding on that game. It didn't occur to me at the time to tease down Indiana with the Seahawks, this Rams-Seahawks game. So I didn't do it with Indiana, and I kind of blew that opportunity. So I'm not going to play a teaser on these games this weekend. The situation I'm in, and Mike Palm is in a very similar one, and so is Mitch Moss. Got the Rams at 30-1 to win the Super Bowl, and that's a pretty big ticket. I know Mike Palm's got it 30-1, 35-1. Mitch has got 30-1. So you got to figure out a way to play it there and hedge your ticket a little bit on the Rams to win the Super Bowl. But no, I'm not going to play the teaser. The long-winded answer to your question is no. I should have used Indiana on a teaser Monday night, but I had so many bets working on that game, I didn't play it. And it worked out great Monday night. But that was the opportunity, I think, Will. You would either tease up Miami on Monday if you like the dog, or you could tease down Indiana. Both ways would have been a winner. And you could have teased it with this Rams-Seahawks game. Let's hear from the Bear, Chris Felica. He was on the Miami Hurricanes getting the points. He had a futures bet on the Hurricanes to win it all. Came up a little bit short Monday night. The Bear talking about betting against the Rams. Can you do it?
I'm really struggling with this game because I've been on the Rams all year. I thought that they were the best team in the NFL and maybe by margin. And then the way they just kind of fumbled home and lost some games in ridiculous fashion, including the game in Seattle. The injury, obviously, to Stafford, he still doesn't really look 100%. A weird play calling by Sean McVay. Why you're not really running Corum and Williams. They didn't do it against Carolina. Didn't do it last week against the Bears. God, it feels to me like, though, it's Rams or pass here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it feels like Rams are pass for me, too. But again, we talked about the futures situation. You got to keep in mind. But if I didn't have that, I would like the Rams here. I'd love to tease the Rams up to 8.5. Will, it sounds like that's the way you look at it.
It is, and that is one hell of a ticket you got on the Rams 30-1. I remember doing the shows last summer when you were talking about that ticket. I forget why I didn't tail you on that. That number might have been gone by the time I got around to it, but that is one hell of a bet to have in your pocket. But yeah, I'm on the Rams here. Should be a good game. And one game landed on one game landed on two. If you get the same thing on Sunday, you cash plus with the dog, no matter who ends up winning. And obviously for your sake here, I'm hoping it's the underdog that ends up winning. And it's interesting, of the four possibilities of the Super Bowl we get here, only Rams-Broncos is not a rematch and not a recent rematch. We've seen Rams-Patriots a couple times in the last 20-something years. Rams-Broncos would be the only one we haven't seen. Seahawks-Patriots we've gotten, Seahawks-Broncos we've gotten all pretty recently. So you can't remember a championship weekend where it's we're going to see a rematch pretty much no matter what, barring both dogs here coming through.
You know what? I doubled down a little bit on the Rams. Not exactly a double down, but I made another bet on the Rams to win the Super Bowl this week. I watched the video of Oz the Mentalist. Did you watch this when he was with the Rams?
Yeah, I saw that.
And he was with the Rams in the meeting room, and basically what transpired was Oz the Mentalist and the Rams predicted the Rams are going to beat the Broncos 23-14 in the Super Bowl. And I played a Rams over Broncos exact at 9-1 this week. So I did add that a little bit after watching that video because I like Rams Broncos anyway. And I watched the video with Oz the Mentalist and I said, okay, why not take a shot at 9-1? Did you see that video?
I saw the video. Yeah. I had the same thought. The best I could find was +850, and I think it's still available at DraftKings. Yeah. That looks a little bit long. If you like both dogs, and hey, if you get both dogs home, you're sitting there with +850 with a lot of wiggle room. You can let that ride, or you can come back with plus points with Denver and have a huge middle. But I do like that number at the +850, 9-1. I think that's a great bet.
I do have to note that Oz the Mentalist also had Duke winning the NCAA basketball championship. He did not foresee that collapse in the final 2 minutes when the Blue Devils blew the 8-point lead. He does not have a perfect record. All right, quick break. More in the NFL playoffs. Will Hill and I return here on VSIN Primetime.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, decent college hoops card tonight. Butler, Marquette underway at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. Bulldogs have the lead early, 10-4. Boy, this Marquette team really struggling. Shaka Smart, 7-13 this season, and Butler 12-7 going into tonight's Big East game. Michigan on top of Ohio State, 7-6 early. And Indiana picked up a 20-point win over Rutgers in the first of two Big Ten games tonight. Will Hill, let's continue talking about the NFL playoffs here. And we focused on Rams-Seahawks there to kick off the first segment of this hour. Let's talk a little bit more about Patriots-Broncos here. But before we do that, we have the guru, John Hansen, talking about a prop bet that he recommends for the Rams-Seahawks game, and it's Puka Nacua. And when it's Puka Nacua, you want to listen to what the guru has to say.
89.5 minus 115, bet MGM. Nacua averaged 150 yards in this matchup. A very fat, by the way, 32% target share. That's a big number, 0.38 targets per route run. And again, in the matchup, a massive 4.76 yards per route run. Basically, they have no answer for Puka Nacua. Seattle gives up the second most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to wide receivers on that right side, and a good schematic matchup. It's like planetary alignment here, 3.93 yards per route run against zone coverage, which they run 72% of the time. This all explains how Puka Nacua got 19 grabs for 300 yards and two touchdowns in two games in this matchup.
All right, Will Hill, you go back to week 16, December 18th. when the Seahawks had that big comeback to beat the Rams 38-37 in overtime. Puka Nacua in that game, 12 receptions, 225 yards, and two touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, 457 yards passing, three touchdowns. How about this? He was not picked or sacked by the Seahawks defense. So, Will, we talked about this being the number one defense in the NFL in Seattle, certainly the best defense left in the playoffs at this point. Why were the Seahawks not able to get to Stafford or control Puka Nacua the last time? And, Will, that was without Davante Adams.
Yeah, and I don't know what Seattle has done to earn such a big upgrade since. They win a fluke game where they probably should have lost. You just look at the box score, watch the game. It's a game Seattle should have won. What are we upgrading them over? They played Carolina the following week. They won, okay. And then they got two wins against whatever was left of the 49ers, who were completely banged up and just decimated on both sides of the ball with injuries. So I think this upgrade, I mean, we talk about the upgrade you're giving the Patriots based on the fact, the adjustment based on the fact that it's Bo Nix to Stidham. The adjustment here to me is just as unwarranted. I don't see the upgrade for Seattle. You're really baking in a lot of the situation, the fact that they had a bye and they had an easy game. Other than that, this move to 2.5 and the threes that were out there, I don't quite get them. If anything, the Rams are healthier than they were in that game a month ago, a game the Rams should have won.
All right, so how do you think it'll be different with Davante Adams out there? And shouldn't the Seahawks be keying on Puka Nacua? I mean, it seems too easy to bet Puka over the receiving yards, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they probably watch that film ad nauseum and say, not again. We got to do whatever we can to stop him. But now there's Adams to worry about too, so maybe you look at Adams over. I haven't played anything on props in this game except for one. I do like Darnold under 5.5 rushing yards. He had zero attempts rushing for 0 yards in the 49er game last week. The last time he's had double-digit rushing yards was December 7th against the Falcons. He's banged up. He's probably going to want to protect himself. I know 5.5 is a low number, and all it takes is one carry for 10 yards. But remember, kneel downs count. Maybe it's the end of the half, and he takes a couple kneel downs for 3 or 4 yards. The end of a game, same thing in a game where they are favored. I do like Darnold under rushing yards just because he's banged up and he hasn't been running recently.
Yeah, with the oblique injury, you got to think Sam Darnold's not going to run much at all unless he's just got a wide open field in front of him. And it's one of those plays that breaks where he can't resist running. Darnold didn't have to throw it much last week either. 12 for 17, 124 yards. But again, the Seahawks led wire to wire. He did not have to face adversity in that game. He is going to have to face it here. Are you a little bit, I guess, curious if Sam Darnold really is injured, if he's hiding something here, if he's going to be limited in this game?
I am. I think it's a free roll because this line is assuming he's healthy. If you bet the Rams, what is there, a 25% chance that Darnold is not healthy, and then you got a great bet on the Rams? If he is healthy, I think the line is accounting for him being healthy. So, and again, he can go into the game healthy and takes one hit the wrong way or in the wrong spot, and all of a sudden he goes from 95, 100% down to 75%. So you never know. On the other hand, Stafford has been dealing with a finger injury. I don't know how much of a factor that is, but Darnold's psyche, his inability to play well in big games, his injury, I think there are a lot of question marks, a lot of uncertainty here around Darnold.
Rams Seahawks, that's a game I'm most looking forward to on Sunday, but both these are going to be really good games. And in fact, the Rams future is a big part of it. I've got the 30-1. I do want to shout out to Tony Gordon, former Circa Million champ, Friday Football Invitational contestant. Tony talked all season about the Seahawks. I know he's got Seahawks futures, and he loved that team. I've been a big Mike McDonald fan, but I didn't bet Seahawks futures. And props to Tony Gordon because he did. Matt Shrewsbury, the parlay king from Fresno, California. He's got the Rams at 33-1. I think he bet that right around the same time I did around the NFL draft last year. Will, how many futures did you bet in terms of Super Bowl futures? And do you have any live at this point?
I went very light with the futures. I just did not find much value. I mean, I had the Miami future in college, which we know how that went, and yeah, didn't monetize that one, which I'm still bitter about. I didn't play much. I don't think I played anything in terms of futures. I played some award stuff, played some division stuff, but as far as Super Bowl futures, I just never found the value. I didn't like the teams at the top. I didn't really think there was a sleeper team, so I don't have anything. The only thing I have is the one I added this week, and that was Rams to beat the Broncos, exact matchup, exact result, I should say, plus 850. So that's the only one I'm sitting on. Hopefully you can get that one home.
Well, you can always go and bet the Yankees futures this week. You're fired up about the offseason moves the Yankees are doing. We'll start talking baseball, but not tonight. All right, let's hear from Jensen Lewis, old number 50, former ace from Vanderbilt, Major Leagues, Cleveland Indians. Jensen makes the case for the Patriots in the first half on Sunday.
Something to keep in mind here, Dave. Drake May is 15-1 this year on first half money lines. I mean, it has been nearly automatic for the Patriots in the first half. So let's team this idea together. Does it take Jared Stidham a little bit of time to get the offense in flow? Maybe it will. Drake May and the Patriots, do they just try and continue to put the pressure on and force the Broncos to have to play catch up? Probably. So that's a factor.
All right. I know Chris Massaro's talked about this Patriots first half trend a lot too. Have you followed that, Will?
I followed it. Haven't really bet accordingly. I would say, and I thought this last week and it lost, after all of the turnovers the Texans had, after the fumbles Drake May has had, don't both teams, at least New England and Vrabel, say, let's not turn it over early. Let's be a little conservative. I know we thought, you know, with Peyton that he's not going to be ultra conservative with Stidham, but I think at least New England, they're looking to avoid turnovers early. So that would be my one angle early, maybe a first half under, a first quarter under, just because you don't want to lose the game early. That was so ridiculous what Stroud did. I would have put Mills in. I can't believe that that played out the way it did. So early unders is how I would look at it, but I am aware of the Patriot trend, even though I haven't really capitalized on it.
Patriots number has come down, as Mike Palm noted at the start of tonight's show. This was 5.5. Some spots had 6 this week, Will.
Yeah.
It's circa now down to Patriots -4 at Denver. Like you and I are both really surprised that number was up to 5.5 or 6. Not surprised it's come down to 4, right?
I was thinking more 2.5, to be honest. Mm-hmm. If you just made me pick one number, what's the line going to be? And I'm usually pretty good at this. Not that anyone's not. If you're paying attention, usually you're going to get within a point, half point of the number. I mean, we all know what the numbers should be. Very rarely am I this surprised. I would have guessed 2.5. I would have been torn between 2.5 and 3. I probably would have ultimately guessed 2.5, thinking they're not going to give you Denver with a strong home field. That's probably worth the full 2 points. They're probably not going to give you the full 3. Boy, was I wrong. Like you said, you could have gotten 5.5, 6. So we'll see if it manifests. But like you said, I was very surprised by the opening number here.
I believe Mike said he leaned under the total in this game as well. 43 is the current total here. Do you agree with that? Do you lean under in Pats Broncos?
I do. And actually, the over's taking some money because that was one, I think, open 40.5. So somebody's betting over. And that's usually, look, if you're moving the number and you're betting that early in the week on a total, usually it's pretty sharp money. The only thing that's kept me off it, the only reason I haven't bet it, is I talked about it with Patriots Texans last week. Look at that box score. Nobody could move the ball. Yards per play were under 4 for both teams, and it still went over. It just feels like you have to have everything go perfectly with the modern NFL kickers being better, field goal, field position, field goal kickers being better, all of that stuff. It's very hard to stay under these low totals, Matt.
All right, great show so far tonight. Not only do we have Will Hill back on Friday nights, we had Mike Palm, we had Super Dave Ross. After the break, we're going to have Nick Bogdanovich of Boomer Sportsbooks. We're going to talk NFL, but also preview the college hoops card for Saturday, and it's a good one. Nick B., former college hooper from Boomer Sportsbook, on with us next. Stay tuned here on VSiN Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Right now, when you spend $129, you can score 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. Don't wait. Spend $129 now. Get 2 pounds of wings. Save 50% site-wide on steaks and more at omahasteaks.com/VSiN. All right, let's find out what's happening at the sports books, especially at Boomers.
Where are the lines changing and where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
All right, Nick Bogdanovich joins us now, as he will every Friday night, sports gambling Hall of Famers, former Circus Sports odds maker, now with Boomer Sportsbook. And Nick, Before we get to the football this weekend, big story today in golf, the American Express out in the California desert. Scottie Scheffler tied for lead at 17 under. I know he was your favorite, but he was not the big story today, right?
No, the young kid with the great name, Blades. That's awesome for a golfer to have the name of Blades. Yeah, he had a chance to shoot 59, but he missed a 6-footer on 18 to get it done. So I think he was going to be the 15th person to shoot a 59 or better. So I wish he'd have done it, but, what are you going to do? He'll be back tomorrow.
Blades Brown with a 60 today. What do you think he shoots tomorrow? More like a 67?
You know, I don't know what course he plays tomorrow. If he plays the hard course, I'm going to say 71. And if the I think he was on the Nicklaus course today, so he either gets the Stadium or La Quinta tomorrow. So it just depends on which course he's on tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a La Quinta PGA West, which is the Nicklaus course, and then the Pete Dye Stadium course. Blades Brown, Scottie Scheffler tied at 17 under as the PGA year schedule gets underway here in 2026, started last week in Hawaii. Big football games this weekend, Will Hill. Let's find out what's going on at Boomers.
Nick, I want to get your take on these games. Let's go in order. Let's start with the AFC game, and I'll ask you this way before I get your take. If Bo Nix were healthy, what would this line be? Patriots, Broncos, how much of an adjustment, and how much is Nix worth in this game?
Well, when it originally opened, it looked like he was worth a full 7 points. We opened New England 5, but we're down to 4, and I have to tell you, it's on its way to 3.5. So all the professional money's been on the Broncos. Maybe they're listening to Sean Payton. He's singing the kid's tune pretty good. He thinks he's going to play well. I mean, that's all he can say. He's got to instill confidence in him, but he has not played a game in a game in 2 years, never been in a playoff game. So I don't care how many big college games he's been in or how many camps he's been in. This is going to be a different monster tomorrow. So I hope Jarrett Stidham plays well. But the jury's out on that one. But the professionals are all over the Broncos.
Rams, Seahawks favored by 2.5. Do you think this is where this line settles? And just in general for conference championship week, I know it's not the Super Bowl, you're not going to offer that kind of menu, but do you offer a little more in terms of the exotics, the props, considering there's only 2 games?
We offer so many props to begin with, it's hard to offer any more, but there probably is a few more. Seattle, all the money's been on the Rams so far. So, we open, I think, minus 2.5, minus 20, and it's down to 2.5 flat, and it's on its way down. All the pro early money's been on the Rams. So heck of a game. Obviously, the two teams know each other well, and, the Rams dominated the game they lost, and Seattle sort of dominated the game they lost. So it'll be a hell of a game. Seattle's really good for us in futures. The Rams aren't, so unfortunately I'm rooting for Seattle, but I'd really like to see Puka Nacua and Davante Adams in the Super Bowl.
Nick Bogdanovich, Boomer Sportsbook. Will, did you have a follow-up there?
No, I was just going to ask him if you wanted to switch to get his thoughts on UConn Villanova. And you usually don't have to say weather permitting when it comes to college basketball, but weather across the country is going to be an issue. Did you have a thought, UConn laying 10.5 against Nova tomorrow?
It seems a little high. I think Willard's done a great job at Nova. I think Nova's 4-0 on the road in the Big East. So this team can play on the road. If there is weather in that area, maybe that'll keep the crowd down a little. So yeah, I could only have the dog in this game.
Taking a look at the Saturday college hoops card again, and right now on a Friday night, let's update what's happening. Ohio State, 16.5 point dog up on Michigan, 20-16. 8.5 minutes to go in the first half there. Indiana beat Rutgers 82-59 early tonight. Hoosiers covered the 7-point number. Nick, we talked to you previously on the show when it looked like, Michigan was playing like the 1996 Chicago Bulls. What do you think's happened to the Wolverines here? They failed to cover 5 in a row, and they're trailing tonight.
Crazy, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, welcome to college sports. It was incredible. They played so well in that 4-game stretch where they're beating quality teams by 30, that they were all the way down to like 3-1 to win it all. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, what else could you deduce from it? But now reality has set in. They're in the middle of league play, and now they're getting they're going to the wire in every league game since. So I'm not sure why their play has dipped a little, but hey, I've seen it before. I still think they'll be fine. The coach is there. The nucleus is there. I think you go through ups and downs, the long season, 35, 36 games. I think Michigan will be fine when postseason tournament rolls around in March.
Yeah, I do too. Like you said, you have peaks and valleys throughout the season. Michigan peaked late November through December, and I think Dusty May now wants to get Michigan to peak again in March. But Wolverines down to Ohio State right now, late in the first half. Nick, you follow a lot of Mountain West basketball. I know that. We got a game tonight and actually a big game tomorrow that's on CBS. I want to get your thoughts on these two. Utah State at Colorado State tonight. The Aggies are off back-to-back losses at Grand Canyon and home against UNLV, which was a stunner. The other night, the Rebels won at Utah State. Aggies 5.5-point favorites at Colorado State tonight. And then how about tomorrow with San Diego State off a loss here in Vegas to face UNLV? That game's going to be on CBS National, and it looks like you're opening San Diego State a 5.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I have zero feel for the Rebels. Mm-hmm. The spot absolutely screams San Diego State. You know, they play here 3-4 times a year with the tournament and whatever. Coming off that really tough loss to Grand Canyon, a game they should have won. I was talking to a friend of mine. I think what Mountain West is just a touchdown this year. I think San Diego State and Utah State are the class of the conference with Grand Canyon, but I think it's down just a touch. But yeah, the spot screams San Diego State, but I think it's 5.5 is a little high. I made San Diego State 3.5 in this game, but I'm not interested in playing the Rebels whatsoever in this one.
Yeah, I think it might be down even more than a touch. I was saying that before. The Mountain West looks like it could be really down this season from what I've seen and the games I've watched. But we'll see what the Aztecs show up with tomorrow here in Vegas. I agree. The spot's all about San Diego State. The number opened higher than I was hoping, but obviously Oddsmaker's doing a good job there putting up the 5.5 opener. I was hoping that would open around 3. All right, we saw the ultimate college football Cinderella story Monday night when Indiana was crowned the champ. What do you make of Nebraska in basketball? 19-0, 8-0 in the Big Ten, and Nebraska on the road in the Big Ten tomorrow, opening a 5.5-point favorite at Minnesota.
Incredible. I've watched this team play twice, and I'm just utterly blown away by how sound they are. They're like the Indiana sound. I mean, they, you know, they get over ball screens. They don't turn the ball over. They have no superstars, but they play 8-9 kids. And they're just well coached. They're playing great. Hoiberg's done an amazing job. Hats off to Nebraska for sticking with him. But with all that said, I like the home dog tomorrow. I think Nico's doing a good job at Minnesota. I think they're like 3-5 in the Big Ten, but everyone's been really, really competitive. And I think they're going to take Nebraska to the wire tomorrow. I think I'm going to take 6 with Minnesota tomorrow in the cold, frigid Minnesota.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well. And by the way, Nebraska is going to be down a player. One of their top scoring guards is out. I believe he's out with a sprained ankle. Got to check his status later. How about one of the bigger games on the card, Houston at Texas Tech, Nick?
Yeah, great game. This one's moved up because of weather. I'm worried about that affecting the home crowd. I mean, it's a real, real strong home court in Lubbock. Houston beat them in a tight one earlier by 4. I thought Houston was really, really overvalued earlier in the year. They were getting the Houston respect from the past 3 or 4 years, and they were really struggling to me early. I thought they were playing terrible, but their last 3 games are monster games. And Kelvin Sampson, his quote this week was, "That's what we do. We get better." So that worries me a little, that with the weather and the home crowd. I want to play Texas Tech in this one, but I'm going to wait and see what kind of a crowd they get in Lubbock tomorrow. Might bet Texas Tech at post tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks like sharper money showing up on Tech here already tonight, looking at the screen. Time flies. We're out of time, Nick. When do you put up the College Hoops overnights at Boomers?
They should be up at 7 o'clock, Matt.
Sounds good. Nick, appreciate the time, man. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Nick. Guys. Good luck to everyone out there.
Nick Bogdanovich, Boomer Sportsbook. Quick break. Will Hill and I come back to talk more NFL. Stay tuned.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know, we talk all the time about making smart bets. Smart advertisers are doing the same thing with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage across premium podcasts, connected TV, data-driven digital campaigns built for measurable ROI. VSiN's exclusive ad partner, Mission Media, gives you direct access to one of the most loyal, action-oriented sports audiences anywhere. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at vsin.com/advertise or email advertising@vsin.com. All right, Will Hill, let's talk more about the NFL playoffs coming up this weekend. We heard from Jensen Lewis, who was making a case for a fast start for the Patriots in the game in Denver on Sunday. And what's your impression of how Drake May has played so far in the playoffs? You had the low-scoring victory over the Chargers, and then last week C.J. Stroud stole the headlines with all the mistakes he made in that Patriots win over the Texans. How do you think Drake May has played so far?
Unimpressive, underwhelming, hasn't taken care of the ball. Now, I'm not enough of a film guy to know how much of that is the offensive line getting beat, and the offensive line has gotten beat, especially Will Campbell, who they spent a high pick on. But he hasn't taken great care of the ball. He hasn't done much, you know, on offense. If Herbert makes a couple plays, they were ripe to get picked off by the Chargers a couple weeks ago on Sunday night. Stroud single-handedly lost that game. I really think if they just took a knee every play or spiked the ball every play, the Texans, they would have had a better chance of winning that game. May has not been impressive to me.
Well, May's going to have to play better, no question about it, but the offensive line's been breaking down in front of him. I find it interesting here. The Patriots have allowed 58 sacks this season. The Broncos been the opposite here. The Denver defense has sacked the quarterback 71 times. That's obviously a matchup that the Broncos have to take advantage of. They got to get to the quarterback. They got to get to Drake May. Tom Brady could not win in Denver. We'll see if Drake May has better luck. Anyway, Jensen Lewis on VSiN by the books, he made a case for the Patriots in the first half. And obviously the trend all season has been bet the Patriots in the first half. Jeff Schwartz of the Bear Bets podcast makes the opposite case here for our Broncos hot start.
The Patriots offense hasn't been that good in the postseason. It's been fine. It's gone by because they played two terrible offenses. This is Drake May's first road playoff game on the road in the AFC Championship game against a team that's going to be sort of back against the wall, wounded animal mentality, right? You don't have the starting quarterback. The defense is going to do more, I would imagine. Will Campbell's really struggled left tackle. Sertan's going to take away one of the New England wideouts. I don't even know who you would go after. It's going to be hard for New England to score. Can Sean Payton, who we've seen work with Teddy Bridgewater as a backup, now Stidham's not Bridgewater, but he's had an offense designed that's right. Worked before with backups. This is a game where the Broncos come out and they try to do some fun things early in the pass game to get Stidham loosened up a little bit. I kind of am eyeing a Stidham to have an early fast start.
All right, the fast start for the Broncos certainly goes against a trend here where the Patriots have been the bet in the first half pretty much every game this season. Will, I want to ask you, in terms of Patriots props here, if there's anything you like, Drake May passing yards, and these are Circus Sports numbers on the player props. Drake May passing yards, 226.5. May touchdown passes, 1.5. Drake May TD passes, over 1.5, plus 110. Will May throw a pick? Yes, plus 110. Running back props, Ramondre Stevenson, 49.5 rushing yards. Stephon Diggs receiving yards, 44.5. Hunter Henry receiving yards, 43.5. Keyshawn Booty, 38.5 receiving yards. And Ian, we'll talk about the Broncos there in a minute. But as far as the Patriots player prop perspective, anything that jumps out to you there?
I had to play anything May under passing yards just because ball security has been such an issue and all coaches hate turnovers, but especially defensive coaches. An old school guy like Vrabel came up, played under Belichick. I know he didn't coach under Belichick, but he played under him. Let's not lose the game on offense. Let's not lose the game with turnovers. If we have to punt, so be it. We saw Houston give the game away with turnovers last week. We almost did it ourselves. Let's take care of the ball. So I think that conservative nature will lend itself to the Patriots in their passing game. So, you know what? Run the ball. If it's 3rd and 14, let's just run the ball and punt. Let's not force anything. So I think you could see New England be a little more conservative. So under on May. I mentioned earlier in the show, DeMario Pop Douglas could be a guy that, you know, low total. Could he go over like 18 and a half, 20 and a half in that range is where he usually is listed. All it takes maybe is one play, a deep shot. He got targeted in the red zone in a key spot last week, caught the first touchdown, was targeted in the red zone the week before against the Chargers. If you have Surtain wiping out either Booty or Diggs or taking turns on those guys, maybe that frees up Douglas to hit a big play. So Douglas had some hamstring issues. The stats aren't great, but he's come on a little bit at the end of the season and into the playoffs. So Douglas over would be one I'd look at. I know it's kind of going against each other, a little bit contradictory to play the quarterback under, to play the receiver over, but it's a real low number with the receiver. So those are my thoughts. How about you? Anything you have played or would play in terms of these?
No, but I'm going to look at the Broncos player props now. How about Jarrett Stidham, pass yards up to 201.5. This opened, I think in some books, about 20 yards lower than that. So Stidham, TD passes, a half, over, minus 210. Again, this Circus Sports numbers here. Stidham, pass yards, 201.5. Stidham, rush yards, 14.5. Will Stidham throw a pick? Yes, minus 180. Let's just start there. So we got Jensen Lewis making the case for the Patriots' fast start. Jeff Schwartz making the case for the Broncos' fast start. What do you expect from Stidham in the first half?
I think he'll play pretty well. I don't think they'll hide him. I don't think they'll handcuff him. Peyton's an aggressive coach. He's got an ego. And he's not going to want, if nothing else, even if you want to run the ball, I don't think he's just going to run the ball three times a punt. If nothing else, even if you want to play conservative, take a couple deep shots to loosen up the defense to set up the running game. So if I had to play anything there, it would be Stidham over passing yards, maybe even over attempts at 32.5, just because you talked about it with Denver and Knicks and Stidham are comparable in that they could throw those short routes and just gain the volume in terms of attempts. I think you look at Stidham's four career starts, he's thrown the ball around the yard a pretty good amount. I think Peyton's got some trust in him. So I would look towards Stidham over yards, over attempts. I'm tempted by the under interceptions, the no interceptions at a nice plus money price, but all it takes is one tip ball, one, you know, bad read, anything like that. So I don't know if that's enough to play, but that number interested me. How about you? Anything that you're betting here?
Well, for what it's worth in the preseason and two starts, probably not worth a lot because it's preseason. You don't face many blitzes or disguised defenses, but Jarrett Stidham, 30 for 38 in the two starts, 376 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. I kind of like Stidham. Will he throw a pick? No, at plus 155, like you mentioned. There,
that's not bad.
Yeah, I was thinking that's a nice plus price on Stidham not to throw a pick. But if Sean Payton says he's going to let it rip and they're going to throw the ball downfield, maybe that's not a great bet. But I think Stidham's going to basically run a ball-controlled short passing game here, a lot like Bo Nix ran as quarterback. But Nix was a turnover-prone quarterback. That's why I thought this adjustment in the number, it was basically an 8.5-point adjustment right off the bat, was too much. Nix is a turnover-prone quarterback who's very inaccurate on intermediate and deep throws. And the Broncos really limited him, mostly a short passing game. And Jarrett Stidham can run this offense. I'm convinced he can run the same offense. He's just going to run less than Bo Nix did. I thought Nix made a lot of dynamic plays with his legs. And, in fact, he converted a 4th-and-inches on a quarterback run up the middle last week. That's where he's better than Stidham. First and foremost is running the ball. We know Ryan Kramer here at VSiN is the guru. He's the GOAT when it comes to first touchdown market. I don't know what Kramer is going to put out on these two games on Sunday. He's going to be on the Sports Gambling Podcast later tonight talking about this. Will, do you bet the first touchdown score market much at all?
Very rarely, and if I do, it's recreation. Just throw a pizza bet on a guy here or there. If you have a bonus bet, you go for the bang for the buck. But I think the hold with these is very tough. It's a needle in a haystack bet. Ryan has done a great job with these. If you're going to tail anyone, he's the guy to tail. But to answer your question, I bet them very rarely.
Yeah, I don't bet them either unless Ryan Kramer's got some suggestions. And it's a Monday or Thursday night, and we see those pregame. Typically, we'll put something on it. How about the quarterbacks to score a touchdown or the first touchdown in this game? At Circa, first touchdown for Drake May is 13-1 odds, and first touchdown for Jarrett Stidham, 21-1. Could you see a quarterback scoring the first touchdown here in this game?
You always could, just because that's the one guy you get in the red zone, right? You get inside the 10 or the 5. That's the one guy that's guaranteed to have the ball in his hands. That being said, 13-1, 20-1, 21-1, is that enough bang for your buck? I'm not moved by those numbers.
Look, check Sunday and find out what Ryan Kramer is going to put out for that, or definitely watch or listen to the Sports Gambling Podcast tonight with Ryan Kramer and Sean Green. That'll be up in a little bit more than an hour. We still have one more hour to go here. Will Hill, Matt Eumanns on VSIN Primetime on a Friday night. And the Wizard, Hoosier, Wes Reynolds is going to join the show in the final hour to break down the Saturday College Hoops card. Right now, Ohio State and Michigan tied at 30 late in the first half.